State Representative Tacky Chan of Quincy is joining us for our weekly Tacky Talk podcast. Hey, Tacky, how are you today?
Hey Joe. It looks like we started a little late today, so unfortunately the audience will get a little bit of an accelerated version of Tacky Thursdays.
Well, it's we're approaching the long holiday weekend. We just come off a heat wave, so we're taking it easy.
I hope everybody was safe through this past heat spell, especially your children and your pets. Good reminder for folks to not leave children or pets unattended in your cars or even in your home without some kind of ventilation or cooling. It does get really sudden really fast on how heat exposure, even if you're not in direct sunlight, can have, particularly in this high humidity environment we've been in this past week after us was praying. I think we were praying at one point for warm weather in the beginning of May to
Yes.
try to get some warmth. And now, of course, we hit the other extreme. So I hope everybody was very safe and careful the last few days. And unfortunately, I think, well, not unfortunately, unfortunately not, doesn't matter. I mean, there's going to be more of these days coming up as we move into June. And given that fact, we're in New England, spring doesn't really exist, right? So, it's going to get hot really fast. And, it's amazing how people have high heat incidences just being kind of forgetful of how hot it gets. And
Yeah.
humidity is really rough too.
Yeah, for sure. It got me to thinking about do you know how the situation is going to be on the state beaches with lifeguards this year?
We're still hiring lifeguards. Pretty much as long as you meet the re requirements, you're going to get a job at this point.
Okay.
Hiring is still very tough. The pay has gone up, which is tough for state government because we're under a budget crunch. But things like lifeguards, you need to have, and it's very competitive out there. I think people sometimes forget that even for these part-time summer jobs today, government is competing against private sector on pay. And there's only so much taxpayers can put up, but I mean, lifeguards people, I mean, these are kind of important. So even though it's a summer job, it's good. I don't remember the pay, but it's very good. And
Yeah.
are paying for training, as long as you can demonstrate you're a strong swimmer. And if you've already been a lifeguard before, they're definitely going to hire you. I'm just going to tell you right now. I mean, the odds are very much in your favor. So thank you for bringing that up. There are summer jobs available at the city and the state on a seasonal basis, things like lifeguards and summer camps and similar things. If you're looking for a summer job as a teenager out of college, definitely much encourage people to go through the website, the ESAR website or the city website, to find some summer work.
Oh yeah, for sure. Yeah, if you want to work for the city, the recreation department has all the information. You can be a lifeguard at the Lincoln Hancock Pool.
Absolutely. And unfortunately, the State House does not have paid internships.
Right.
So we do take volunteers. My office is really filled up on volunteers. We have four wonderful students interning for us this year. We do encourage folks for if you come in the winter, there's not a lot of action because we're in the second half of a 2 year section. But for next year, remind folks to try to reach out early in the year and the spring, and like December, January, to put at least put your name in the hat for consideration as we kind of go through resumes for internships for next summer. I should be here back next year, but it's election cycle. We never know, right? But seriously, if you got kids, teenagers in particular looking for summer gigs, it's going to be a very competitive year for all things, including places like the YMCA, for example, looking for summer help, right? The economy is still very much geared towards employees at the moment, and the unemployment rate's fairly steady. But unfortunately, inflation is showing that wages aren't beating inflation for the first time in like 4 years. So now your wages are not increasing at the same rate of inflation, and you're all going to be feeling it at a macro level. Some of you may not be feeling it right away, but all of us will be feeling it at a bigger level as we move deeper into summer.
Yeah, things are going to stagnate at the least, and maybe recede at the worst. Yeah.
Yeah, so interesting data set that when you look at gasoline prices, it's not unusual for it to double over 20 years. Not unusual. It is actually part of inflation. It generally is something around 5% of your disposable income cost, depending where you live, obviously, against your total income. But just the several weeks, most families have doubled in if depending where you live, perhaps tripled what you normally pay for gasoline to just do basic needs, just work and go into groceries and things like that. Nothing beyond that. And at some point, obviously that's going to definitely impact the overall economy moving into the summertime. And they're projecting record travel again for Memorial Day weekend coming up. Very unclear what that actually means. We'll see how the
It
numbers
does
play
seem
out.
like every year it's going to be record travel.
Yeah, and I'm sure what that means with these with this high inflation, high gas prices. I'll be actually interested to see when we get to the end of June what the May data sets look like.
Yeah, that's a good point, actually. Yeah. I think at least for Memorial Day, the folks stay in the New England area, if you will.
I believe so. And I'm actually doing some traveling for work. I'll be in Chicago for the National Conference State Legislative Asian Conference on the weekend. I'll be there for 1 weekend, July 24, 25, 26. It's actually a Friday, Saturday conference, which is weird, by the way. But good for me because if it's a weekend conference, I don't miss session. So
Oh, right, yeah.
it's strange, good, bad. But I mean, they already moved my airplane.
No, no kidding.
Yeah. Again, it wasn't like a big time. Excuse me. It wasn't a big time change, but I expect there may be more than one time shift on my flight.
Yeah, it's everything is fluid right now because I mean, jet fuel is even more expensive than gasoline.
Yeah, the United States actually produces a lot of its own jet fuel. However, it's not equally distributed through the country.
Yeah.
So different parts of the country, because of the way how pipeline and the delivery systems work, does actually take jet fuel from outside the United States. Including places like Korea, which is a major jet fuel exporter to the United States. Since you already have that supply chain, you don't, the infrastructure in the U.S. wouldn't provide it in certain parts of the country. And while we could probably generate some more jet fuel, the infrastructure isn't there to get it to other places.
Yeah.
The problem is that not so you can make more, so you physically can't get it in large volumes to the places that are trying to make up the shortfall. So, I don't have an exact number, but some of the biggest states on the West Coast, the Western, no, not just West Coast, Western part of the United States, in particular, is having a massive jet fuel shortage.
Interesting. Okay. So certainly LA, Seattle, those are some of the major hubs out there.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And they're going to have to figure out how to adjust it and try to get fuel internally in the U.S. But again, the infrastructure system is designed to move monster amounts. And those, these are big planes, and there's a lot of fuel involved, and you got to store that someplace, and you got to get it there. So, this Iran situation has definitely created supply shock that you may not feel until you book your plane tickets this summer and realize they move your flight.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. And book early, I think, is the word of advice for sure.
Yeah, you got to lock in your prices soon, I think, because they've already priced in a 20% increase and also new checked bag fees, which is going to be unavoidable to address the fuel increases. Other countries have added what's called a surcharge fee, a fuel
Yeah.
surcharge already to address the fuel increase costs from caused by the Iran war. And the price you see on TV, the WTI and the Brent number is the wholesale number. It's not the retail number. So, for example, if Brent is like 110, the retail price is about 140.
Yep. So, and that's about what it is right now, 110. And just put it in perspective, like before the Iran war, it was hovering around 70.
That's right. And we were actually looking at the mid-60s too. We're talking about here about how come gas prices weren't following the declining oil rate at the same clip as it was during COVID. And that was a little bit troubling. But now we're seeing a massive rise. So when I took mom to Tufts Medical on Monday for a doctor's visit, at the Pine Street and gas station was $5.55 for unleaded. I
Yeah.
believe it was $6.59 for diesel.
Wow. Okay.
And then down here in Quincy, I mean, again, we're talking about early in the week. It is Thursday. I'm talking about Monday.
Yeah.
Now, seeing like 439 on Hancock Street, BJ's, I think it's like 427.
Yeah.
It's still cheaper in Quincy. And so, in some of the suburban areas, probably a little bit cheaper here. But that's not going to last much longer. And, I remind folks, rent is a big part of the cost of doing business, especially with gas stations. And, they have to bake it into the price structure.
I did see that the House did pass some bills this week, Jackie.
We were in session yesterday. We
Oh,
did a
okay.
small flurry of bills. We did some five Bills are actually very important bills. So we'll do the quick rundown
Yeah, sure.
because it's actually very not they're not that hard to explain. So one bill which actually is dear to me is allowing restaurants the ability to use EpiPens, so
Oh.
epinephrine. So this allows them to acquire, be trained, and utilize EpiPens in case of anaphylactic shock, and even if the individual does not have a prescription themselves for EpiPen, you can use it on the individual as well. As a person who has a lot of food allergies, who thankfully has not had a anaphylactic shock yet, this is kind of important for me, and I think it's important for safety of people, particularly in restaurants, eating out. And the restaurants can do Safe Serve, which is a DPH program regarding allergy awareness. I'm not entirely clear if that's like every employee or whatever. I mean, it's but it's that, that I think that should really be like quarterly education, personally speaking. But no, this is a pretty important bill on safety of consumers in restaurants.
Yeah, I didn't realize that. So it allows them, doesn't require them, right?
Yeah, allows them,
Okay.
and you can get you can because they can now acquire without having a prescription.
Gotcha. Okay.
But these pens do expire. Those listening here who
Yes.
just have an EpiPen recognize they do expire, and they're not cheap.
Right. Yep, exactly. So that'd be comforting to know that in the event, that something happens, a restaurant will be able to help you.
So we're gonna be some regulations by DPH if this becomes law
Sure.
on how this would roll out, and make sure customers are aware this is something that is there.
Interesting. Okay.
We do have the blue envelope, which is called regarding better training with law enforcement of individuals with autisms.
Yes.
So that is something in the conversation for many years. I remember watching video of troubling of not this state but other states shooting at individuals who had autism and unable to see. I remember when during the end of COVID, it was very troubling to watch on the news. I think we're better trained. I think we have better awareness in Massachusetts. I think our law enforcement is just generally better community oriented in some other places in the country. But that being said, it can be very unsure what to do if you have an individual behaving in a specific manner and how you manage a circumstance of a person with autism. And autism is a spectrum. It's not one thing. It's really a broad conversation of different ranges. So this is actually a good thing. The Senate passed a version of this, so we're doing a version ourselves, which also leads us to a blue seal on license plates. So we also moved the bill out to allow families of fallen law enforcement to have a special license plate.
Oh, okay. Hadn't heard
Fallen
about
law
this.
enforcement. Yeah, that's a new one too. It's a blue shield
Okay.
on a license plate. So that's another one that we did. Then we had and this was a fun one. I didn't realize this. I thought it just be only a crime already, but I mean, guns on drones.
Guns on drones. Okay.
Yeah, if you go on YouTube, it's kind of like fascinatingly scary that you could put firearms and drones and just shoot things. It's been a thing for a while. This
Really?
has floated around the hill for quite some time. I was under the impression that it'll be a crime by crime with transference because if I used a device to kill you, but I wasn't there. It's like a bomb, right? If I bomb your home, I'm not there holding said bomb. I timed it or
Right.
remote detonated it. I still killed you.
Right.
I don't have to be at the bomb to kill you. It's still, I murdered you. That was my intent
Right.
to murder you. I don't have to be physically next to said bomb. I've always thought drones were in the same category. I drone you. I intended to kill you. I was not next to said drone, but I still did it. So I was under the impression always that, if you're going to do a death remotely, bombing is my first instinct, right? Just because you're not there holding the bomb doesn't mean you didn't kill somebody, right?
No, that's what the Unabomber did years ago, right?
Yeah, so I figured drones would fall in the same zone as bombing.
But it doesn't.
I still think it does, but
No.
we passed the bill specifically make it an
All
enhanced
right. Well,
penalty
you
for.
can never be too cautious.
I guess we can't be too cautious. We decided to move a bill out of the House to the Senate on having using drones as weapons, on enhanced penalties. on top of the penalties that you would have attempting murdering people.
Okay.
I know. But I mean, I won't say it doesn't make sense. I mean, I suppose it's a good way to try to cut off potential defense attorney arguments on
Ah, that's a good point. Yep.
firearm charges. I suppose that's one way of looking at it. So you could try to make the argument, weapons of possession,
I'm just looking at the bill now as we speak. So yeah, okay.
Yeah,
So
it's very simple.
it makes it unlawful for a person to manufacture, modify, sell, transfer, possess, or operate a robotic device equipped or mounted with a weapon. There you go.
Look, I was half joking R2-D2 was coming for you.
It's not so out of this realm.
Well, if you're a Star Wars fan and you watched so-called the original three films and R2-D2's the body count, it feels like,
Yes.
I'm just saying.
Yeah, okay.
And those, fully the nerd out on people. I mean, if you watch Star Wars Rebels and you watch the Chopper episodes, you know exactly what I'm saying. So those
Okay.
of you who catch that reference that
All
understand Star Wars will know what I'm
right,
saying.
is the Senate have a version?
I'm not sure what's going to happen in the Senate.
Okay.
They're doing the budget this week, the Senate.
That's great, yeah.
And I think they're also trying to get the Chapter 90 transportation bond bill done this week too. That's actually a non-controversial thing. So I think they're trying to do a lot of pre-minority stuff this week. Yeah, so those are kind of like smaller bills. We can joke a little bit about the drones, which I actually made a lot of jokes about drones at the office actually. But it makes some sense when you think about it. And it just creates more additional penalties for law enforcement. It just creates another tool for law enforcement to use, regarding
Right, it's a tool. Right, exactly. Yep.
that's what it is. Because it sounds to be you're not just building it, but why are you building this?
Right. Well, I mean, we're seeing drones used very effectively by the military in the Iran war right now. So, yeah.
And also Ukraine. I actually watched a CNN clip of embedded reporters in Ukraine in the middle of a drone warfare situation where they
Really?
getting shot at by drones.
Yeah.
And it takes a, it's skilled work to shoot one down, to use a drone, and also to evade a drone. And I'm
Right.
watching CNN reporter team trying to get out of a drone attack.
That's scary.
It was very scary because
Yeah.
it wasn't a bombing drone. They weren't going to kamikaze you, so to speak. It was a firearm drone.
Okay.
And,
So it's like seek you out and then shoot you, basically.
yeah, very much so. And it's
Yeah.
designed from above. So unlike, I think, the image we have and you've seen on YouTube of, I don't want to encourage people to do this, but you can see guns mounted on drones and they would shoot vertically.
Yeah.
These drones in Ukraine shoot horizontally. So they basically fly over people and shoot downward.
Gotcha.
Which creates interesting defenses. For example, they put up wire nets
Oh, interesting.
as a perimeter in some secure locations to try to catch the drones because they still have to get close enough for the firearm to hit you. And they're
Right.
not carrying like big ass rifles, right? I mean,
Right.
these are drones. They have to be quick, they have to be precise, but they have to have a limited number of ammunition, and they have to have they got to get out because they'd rather recover the equipment if they can't. Rather not lose equipment. So, but it's still, even though it's not, big weapons. I mean, it doesn't take much to kill somebody. So they actually fly over you, get as close as they can within range of the firearm, and just start blasting at people like rapid fire and just get out.
Yeah, that's very sci-fi-ish. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, and it's very psychologically jarring because it's like literally what we call death from above.
Right.
So, you watch these videos. It's actually very, very frightening. So the Ukrainians would and the, would then proceed to shoot, try to shoot down drones, which, as you can imagine, drones are not very big.
Right.
So you basically stop shooting a moving target while it's trying to shoot you, and then you got to get behind tree cover or any kind of cover because it, visibility, and then obviously they have these nets up. To try to, the drone can't see the net and hit these wired, not in net, like a mesh net, but like wiring. So it
Yep.
just hits this wiring and crashes into it,
Yeah.
disables the drone that way. And then they would, then they have to fully destroy the drone because if there's any tracking equipment, GPS, cameras, whatever, they have to like literally like firmly destroy the thing.
Great. Just one more thing to worry about.
Look, I mean, a lot of science fiction becomes reality. I think people dismiss science fiction, but the reality is a lot of things in life that modern technology, comes from some degree of science fiction. We always point to Jules Verne, obviously, who imagined men on the moon and 20,000 leagues under the sea, and the answer is yes, we can do it.
Yeah, oh, I always say it all the time. Gene Roddenberry was way ahead of his time with Star Trek.
Well, Star Trek is very ahead of its time. I mean,
Yeah.
even the original Star Trek and with William Shatner and those guys, the idea of a door that slides open. I mean, the idea that actually sliding doors was actually was because of Star Trek automated.
Yes. I'm waiting for the transporter to come to life so I don't have to drive anymore. I can just transport myself to
The
wherever.
science behind that's a little more
Yeah,
complicated.
I'm sure.
But I mean, the iPad was on. I saw the iPad. You saw a cell phone.
That's true. Yeah.
That's what those communication devices were. I mean,
Yeah.
they were. And you saw the same thing in Star Trek: New Gen. We had flat screens come up. Those flat screens did nothing, but today's flat screens do.
Right.
Moving forward in time, people with imagination, engineering skills, and the advent of artificial intelligence, it's going to create a new set of technologies that we probably, enjoyed watching on TV shows and cartoons and.
Yeah, I think
Books.
I'll be long gone, but yeah, somebody will be here for
Oh no,
it.
you trust me, you have somebody, you have a robot coming by to help take care of your cat before you know it.
Well, they already have automatic litter boxes.
Yeah, you could have imagined that, 25 years ago.
That's true. Oh, brother. Okay, so those were
So,
the goals
good
on
day at
the.
State House. It was busy day at State House.
Yeah, sounds like it.
We also had the Economic Development Bond Bill, Economic Development Bill. There's really almost no bond money that was heard by Joint Committee on Economic Development and Emerging Technology. They had a public hearing on that on Tuesday. A big bill we'll be taking up sometime in June. We got an Environmental Bond Bill waiting in the wings that actually everybody's waiting eagerly to get a chance to amend the Environmental Bond Bill.
Oh,
That's
really?
route. And then, we have Asian American Pacific Islander Month is still this month, and the governor's having an event in her office tomorrow at 11:30. I'm not entirely clear what's going on, but I got to go to the sales tomorrow. And even my committee, we have a poll out that closes today at 4 o'clock. I'm just trying to get my bills out of committee under the House accelerated bill reporting rules, including my penny bill, which came to my
Oh,
committee.
yeah. We have talked about this, but it's been a while. Yeah.
It's been a while, so I'm reporting out of committee. We worked with the Mass Retail Association on some adjustments to ensure that the rounding method doesn't have to be used if both parties are able to do exact change.
Right. Yeah.
So if I have exact change in cash or they have exact change in change, you don't need to round. The circumstance where the retailer does not have exact change, then the exact change is not available by the consumer, then the retailer moves this uniform rounding method.
Okay. Yeah. So
Which then
that
has been, yeah, it's a whole even an odd number up and down five to
de
ten.
depending on the final price tag, right? Yeah.
Yeah,
Okay.
final price, not before taxes, is after tax.
After taxes. Okay.
Yeah,
So it doesn't
and
impact the state tax collections.
this does not.
Yeah.
And the long-term goal is that retailers move to a 0 or 5 cent system where there's no
Yeah.
decimal points in the final calculations when you get to the register. That's the long term. In the near term, it's a rounding error where consumers may get a little bit of a benefit or the retailer may get a little bit of a benefit. So
Okay.
fortunately, it's not a situation where you're going to get equal benefit out of this.
Yeah.
There's physically no way for me to do this where everybody's made whole consistently. It's
All the time, right? Yeah.
going to be over a long period of time when retailers restructure the prices around the death of the penny
Yeah.
that it works out in the end. And
Yeah.
unfortunately, that is the circumstance. It also helps out in trying to deal with EBT cards and other things
Yep.
to ensure that the consumer is made whole no matter what.
Yeah, it's and then what if the next administration starts making pennies again, Jackie? Just thought I'd throw that
I don't know how loud that sigh was, but hopefully someone heard on the podcast how loud that sigh was.
there.
Look, I mean, I'm a consumer chairman. There's only so much I can deal with at one time. Only so much I can deal with at one.
It's just my job to play devil's advocate, that's all. One crisis at a time, right?
Look, I mean, don't stop me on a 20-minute tirade of me lamenting the federal government's incompetency. I actually did say that actually at one point on the floor.
Did you?
I didn't use the word incompetent, but my floor debate did pointed out their ineptitude down there.
Okay.
Yeah. No, but I mean, again, it's not going to exactly make consumer whole. It's not going to exactly make retailers whole, but we need something to get the process started with everybody. Because
Yeah.
we're actually moving the retailers, especially towards a specific uniform system of change.
So would that also apply, like if you had a gift card for someplace?
No, you know, because there's no taxes.
Oh, okay, right. Gotcha.
So
Okay.
it would have to be, yeah, because the taxes creates the penny problem.
Yes. Yep. Okay. Huh. Hey, do other countries, do they have this issue? Do you know?
Yeah, as I talked about before, other countries took 10 years to phase it in. Phase them
Interesting.
out more actually, phase out the
Yeah.
penny in an incremental process, working with retailers, restaurants, and consumer advocates to make sure that we have a smooth transition. Here, overnight, here's government moving at its fastest. And you may not fully realize it, but you will at some point that what is going on here on how come we can't get changed correctly.
Have to start carrying a whole pocket change again, which I hate to do.
If you can find a penny.
Yeah, exactly.
And there's still only cash-only transaction businesses. People don't realize that
Oh, yeah.
some places still only cash because they don't want to pay credit card transaction fees. And if
That's
you're
right.
in business listening to this, you know better than anyone else that what I'm saying about the fact that credit cards charge you transaction fees, which eat into your profitability. But your price structures are designed to include the transaction fees. So the funny thing is, if you're paying cash, actually subsidize somebody else's transaction fees.
That's right. Yeah. Unless it's an all cash business, right? Yeah.
Yeah, then there's nothing to worry about. There's no cross-subsidization because
Right.
cash people subsidize people using credit cards because they're the ones who are paying the same price as a credit card person. But there's no transaction fee taken out.
Right.
So
Okay. Well, that was good. You got some stuff done.
yeah, I am working, folks. It doesn't
Oh,
feel
I
like it
never
though.
doubted that,
Yeah, I'm
Jackie.
surprised some people highly question whether I'm actually doing anything. But again, as you can hear, it's a process. You work with other people, right? We work with the retail association, we work with the restaurant association. We did a lot of homework in Canada, what's going on in DC, which is not a lot. Other states, National Conference of State Legislators, NCSL website had a lot of information for us that we could research. So yeah, it wasn't as, this is how you're supposed to do this, right? You're
Right.
supposed to talk to the people. You're supposed to work in collaboration and cooperation and debate. Not everything they wanted, I wanted to do. We had a conversation about why we didn't do something, right?
Sure.
And then, there are other states or resources moving in the same direction or trying to. And, thanks to the internet, we can find stuff. So, this is how lawmaking should work, whether it be at the municipal level, on my level, or at the federal level.
Yep. Hey, I guess Boston's on the short list to host the Democratic National Convention in a couple of years.
Yeah, I think we may get it, or
Really?
Boston may get it. Yeah, I mean, we did it. Remember the last time we did this was John Kerry.
Oh, wow, that is going back. Yeah.
Yeah, 2004, the first convention after 9/11, where the whole city of Boston closed. I was at the State House working for Morrissey at the time. Said it, and the whole place was a ghost town
Yep.
with snipers everywhere.
Right.
It was
Yeah.
post 9/11. I mean, so I think Boston has a good chance to get it. It'd be a great economic boom for the geographic zone. And I think, given post 9/11, even with security issues, I think Boston and Massachusetts is in a very good position to host an event like this. Sadly, we have a lot of experience regarding terror attacks. Very sad to make that statement, but as a result, I think we're very well prepared for something like that, and we already have the test running out. FIFA is going to start very soon,
That's right.
and I don't know how many more warnings about traffic and issues you can hear about, going to Foxborough Stadium. But the MBTA, the commuter rails, and the local restaurants and hotels, including Quincy Hotels, will probably get some spillover for folks needing rooms for these events from travelers overseas. Is coming up, and then tall ships are actually in the middle of actually at the end of FIFA's tall ships, followed by the 25th anniversary, July 4th, which is going to be this big extravaganza in Boston,
Right.
which is going to attract everybody from the geographic zone, not just Massachusetts. And then you move into the summertime, rest of the summer. So I'm hoping that, we get a good economic bump, for the state and for the region, from all these big events. And the DNC would be great if we could get it to come here, because again, it's great for the local economy. And I really believe, we are equipped to handle something like that.
It'll be interesting to watch for sure. Just have to see what happens with that for sure. So what else? Your budget's done. The Senate almost going to be done. So, I mean, looks like it's going to be might be on time this year.
Yeah, we actually had a staff meeting yesterday about the calendar. It is May. July 31st is the close of formal sessions. We're in the crunch ourselves, going through our own bill priorities, trying to see what we can get done. I'm going to have that conversation with Ways and Means staff, as well as speaker staff, about what can I get done? Like, what is the priorities going on here? I know it's always shifting in the sand as things change around us, but I say I don't have like groundbreaking bills. I do have some small things. Just for disclosure, I will be at New Orleans, funny enough, for a Thursday Friday conference on June 4th and 5th, regarding energy supply. There's a national conference, legislative energy supply committee. Speaker put me on it with Chair Cusack, Mark Cusack from Braintree. So he'll be in New Orleans, getting updated on supply energy issues. Given the Iran war and everything we see around us, it's very timely we're going to this conference. We maybe try to attempt to have a conversation from New Orleans, maybe.
Well, we'll see.
We'll see. Maybe we'll get our first remote show since Austin, Texas.
What is it? Just an I think just an hour time difference.
It's 1 hour time difference. So so I got that conference coming in. Again, it's a very timely conference, particularly. In fact, I do know a lot about energy issues, but there's a lot of consumer impacts. And you guys know I watch CPI and PCE and PPI and all those data sets much more closely than I ever have in my life, especially post-COVID. So yeah, we
Which is the stock market soared yesterday for some bizarre reason.
yeah, and interest rates are high. I mean, people ask me a lot about what how to kind of like how do you like look for tells by the president. And one of the tells is the 10-year bond rate. When that thing creeps over 4.5, he tends to make a statement about something to try to bring it back down. He is very stock market driven, as we know. About 60% of the population has some type of investment, whether it be a 401k or the day trading on Robinhood, or you're part of a pension fund that's stock market driven too. 60% of this country is some way somehow tied to the stock market, whether you realize it or not.
60%, right?
Yeah, when you think
60.
about it, when you think about it, when you package it all together, it makes sense, right?
You might not realize it, but you're right. Even your 401k is tied to the stock market.
Yeah, and if you're a pensioner, whether it be a private pension or government pension, you're tied to stock market too.
No, for sure.
Because the longevity of your benefits is tied to the ability for the pension fund to grow and sustain itself. Same thing as Social Security, same principle of Social Security. You got to keep having contributors, plus you got to grow the account for the purposes of make sure that future beneficiaries are able to get their benefits, right? So, a lot of us are actually tied to this. So, I mean, but there's a disconnect, right? Most folks don't see direct benefit of your pension funds. I mean, all of us contribute, but you don't see that till you're 59 and a half or older. And but until then, the stock market means nothing to you, but it does to the president. And the 10-year bond yield, I've noticed, is when he makes a comment, and we'll make a comment after the stock market closes.
You don't want to disrupt things in the middle of trading.
That is correct. He has restrained himself, unless he can't help himself or something happens, not to make a comment after the stock market closes and see what happens to the 10-year bond yield, because that bond yield continues trading into the evening and early the next morning. People may not remember Liberation Day. He reversed course when the 10-year bond yield shifted 0.1%, point a one tenth a one one hundredth of percent. No, 1/10%, like inside like less than 3 hours, and it caused him to shift gears on the tariffs. There is a direct correlation here. So, same thing on the Iran war. He's making commentary specifically when the market's on open. He's trying to avoid market shock because that's who he gauges. Everyone knows that's how he gauges how it works, even though, like I said, honestly, yeah, 60% of us are in the market. A lot of us are not beneficiaries yet of the market, in the immediate sense until retirement. And it shows you a disconnect regarding the president and regular people. And that's troubling, right? Because what's going to happen if the economy gets really bad, like we saw during COVID, people are going to try to dip into their retirement savings, try to make ends meet. And there are penalties, and you talk to your financial planner about this before you try it. But there are penalties in some boat, depends what it is, but you need to talk to financial planners before you make those moves. But if things get bad enough, like during COVID, people are going to make those moves, which actually jeopardizes their future. It's kind of crazy, but that's kind of how that works. And the market's gone nuts. Oil's up, bonds are up, stocks are up. It shouldn't be that way. If you watch history, generally when fuel prices are up, stock market goes down. When bonds are up, stock market goes down because bonds are safer than stocks. And when you're getting a bigger interest rate on bonds, you take the safer bet.
Yeah, it hasn't followed the rules for a while now.
Yeah, it doesn't. I mean, you can go online. There's a bazillion charts out there that show you the correlation until you get to this year, and it doesn't. It's the one the lines don't make any sense
No.
on these charts. There's like a bazillion charts out there on the internet you can find, and it's not made up stuff. This is real history numbers they just put on a piece of paper for you, and I can't explain it either. I cannot explain it other than I can think of as FOMO issues. People have people afraid of being left behind behavior. I just, but on that, yeah, I can't figure this out either. But I mean, people should always realize that, it's a long-term issue regarding retirement, and it's not a short-term issue. And there always can be roller coaster ups and downs and bumps in the road. And the objective is that eventually smooths out as you get closer to the end of your working part of your life and moves towards retirement. But people that think that this doesn't matter to you. No, it doesn't probably today. It will matter to you later.
More long-term thinking for sure.
Yeah, and again, I think that this is a reflection of a disconnect with the president saying the stock market's great, but you and I are struggling to fill our gas tanks and making hard decisions about groceries to buy.
What's going on in the district, Techie? It's coming up to be Memorial Day, of course.
Yeah, I'll be in Germantown tomorrow morning at 9 a.m. for the annual memorial service of Germantown residents who make the ultimate sacrifice for this country, Stein Harbor School. Obviously, Memorial Day Parade is on Monday, kicking off with the Quincy Credit Union, 10:30, I believe, is the kick step off time, finishing at Mount Walsall Cemetery, which is gorgeous, as well as the new Public Safety Center across the street, which is gorgeous. I don't have a lot more other events. I got some other Asian events. For example, there's a art exhibit that's going up at the end of the month, at the beginning of next week, at the State House. Some local artists are putting some stuff at AAPI month as we close up the month. Encourage again people to use local businesses and post it on the internet, things, places that you like to try to share with others on the AAPI businesses. Not too much else. We did Japan Day already this month. Had a good talk with the Japanese consulate. They're actually in this rotation, Korean consulate, the guy I talked about before, talking to them about real issues going on in Asia. There'll be some other, I suspect there'll be some other consulate conversations coming up in June. Oh,
Any
Dragon Boat Festival is coming up in June, June too. We have, obviously graduation's coming up really quick. On North Quincy and Quincy High School. We have the Democratic State Convention next week as well. The last weekend of this month, June, is it July? The 31st is a Friday, is it? So
31st is a Sunday.
Sunday. So yeah, so June 30th, sorry, June, May 3rd, 29, May 30th is Democratic State Convention in Worcester. I have to attend that. I'm just going for the day in Worcester. The only vote on the agenda that isn't a policy vote is Ed Markey and Seth Bolton. Statewide candidates still need 15% of the delegates to put them on the ballot. I anticipate no problem either one making the ballot. It's such a low threshold. So I'll be, it'll be in Worcester on Saturday, during the state convention.
Okay. Do you know, are there any Quincy artists that'll be featured at the State House exhibit?
No.
Okay.
Amy Marcangiolio, the representative from Newton, put this project together.
Oh, I see. Okay.
So they were calling around to find regional artists. I don't believe one is a Quincy one this time.
Okay, maybe next year.
Maybe next year. I can only do so many projects at once.
Okay. With that, how would an artist or anybody else get a hold of you, Jackie?
617-722-2370. 617-722-2370. As where our student state house room 42, we encourage visitors to come by and say hi. Also encourage people to visit the sales for tours. We love people coming to see it, but we're in room 42. Tacky.chan, mahouse.gov, tacky.chan, mahouse.gov. I do read all the emails, and they get to be a lot, as you can imagine, especially as we close in the last 2 months of session. We have State Representative Tacky Chan Facebook and the corresponding Instagram that's tied to it, which is Tacky underscore Chan. We have TackyChan.org, which I've heard from more than one person now. I actually do use the website. They get phone numbers and they didn't have to call me, which I'm very happy to hear that is a good resource. And then, of course, we have MALegislature.gov, MALegislature.gov. You just looked up a bill on your own online
I did. Yes, it's easy,
during
very
this
easy to
podcast.
use. Yep.
Exactly. And you can make your own account and you can set up alerts and you can watch sessions and look at our rules and documents and anything else you want to read. You can help yourself. And also, our committee votes and committee attendance votes are up there as well. So you
Yes.
can take your time perusing at your leisure.
Yes, I highly recommend establishing an account if you want to follow bills. It's very helpful.
It is, yeah, I agree. Very, very helpful. And it's also live. So if you call
Yes.
me looking for something, when the clerk does it, it's live from the floor to the internal system. It goes straight to the external system when you update the internal systems. So you people feel that, I have special insight. The answer is no.
No, you're going to go to the same website. Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah, because the nature of technology, folks, when they push the button, I see it when you see it.
That's right.
So yeah, I love how people think there's special insight. There's no special insight. The clerk hits the button, we all see it together. And then, of course, me and Joe here every week or 2 weeks, and talking about whatever comes to mind. And again, we encourage, and Joe wants to hear from you, QATV at QATV.org, QATV at QATV.org. So you can, see how we're doing after 6 years together. And obviously check with Joe every morning with his Quincy AM show.
Excellence. All right. Thank you so much, Techie. Talk to you soon.
Talk to you soon, Joe.